All right, let's welcome in Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider, Colorado Sportscaster of the Year. He is presented by ROX, Rocks Heating and Air. And yet another member of the media who just...
Would you like to apologize?
Just didn't believe in those Broncos. Shame on you, Troy.
Yeah. Listen, I picked based on logic, not on any kind of sentiment. I mean, I get it. That's cool. The Broncos can poke fun at those of us who didn't pick them. I mean, outside of their own room, I'd like to see people who did pick them, even to cover. So it's a terrific win by them. No one expected it, and, you know, they deserve credit for that. But the idea that we all somehow missed something that was there, you can't believe in something you never see. They don't win on the road consistently against good teams. So there would be no reason until they do it. Now, when you prove it, it's a lot easier to say, okay, now there's a little something there. Now, defensively, that was an elite performance. I mean, I get it. The Patriots didn't practice. I understand that. But that's not the Broncos' fault. But defensively, they did some things. They've done, frankly, things the last two games. 8.5 sacks, 3 takeaways. That's how you can win in this league on the road, is turn the ball over.
Yeah, they certainly were able to do that. And I thought they had a great mixture where the back end and the front end played complementary football. When they blitzed, they got home. They had good enough coverage on the back end. So... I thought that was good. What'd you make of the game plan, Troy? I thought there was a lot more kind of two tight end formations, a lot more two back, and Phillip Lindsay was just tremendous at the point of attack.
Yeah, they were successful when they went two tight ends, and their offensive line deserves credit. Mark, you would watch the film. They blocked better in the run game. It was probably their best blocking since the first half of that Pittsburgh game. They just took the challenge personally. When they were in double tight end, they were better. I mean, they fell in love again, as they're kind of want to do, with the three wide sets, which led to some issues, especially late, and some questionable play calling. But they were physical. And, you know, Lindsay, when they're like that, Lindsay, you know, he takes everything so personally. And it was like, okay, we're going to punch you in the mouth. I asked Philip about that after the game yesterday. And he was like, yeah, you know, these guys, you get tired of being told you're not good enough and you're not physical enough. And they had averaged 92 yards on the ground per game. They were worse this year on the ground than last year. That was a statement game from their guys up front, frankly, on both sides of the ball. I think Mike tweeted this yesterday, but they won at the line of scrimmage. I mean, they won on both sides of the line of scrimmage up front. And that was something we're not used to seeing with this group, and you hope carries over. But you're right, Mark. Their ability to run the football, control the clock, put them in some very advantageous situations. And it couldn't close. That's the problem. You're not going to win a lot of games just kicking field goals, but they did a lot of things right to get in position to kick field goals.
Busy with Troy Rank. Did Drew Lock's numbers really tell the whole story of his performance?
They did not, and I'm not trying to make excuses for him, but there was legitimately 3 drops. I mean, I'm going to go back and watch the game again today, but there might have been 5. So he's 10 for 24 for 189 yards and 2 picks. And he probably should have been, you know, what, 13 for 24, 14 for 24 with 230 yards and a touchdown and a pick at least. So,
A couple of those drops were touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Albert Okwuegbunam dropped at least 2. Judy's one was questionable. Deshaun Hamilton would not have been a touchdown, but it was going to be, what, about 40 yards? I mean, so his line got skewed by multiple drops. Now, what I liked about Drew is after the game, he's like, listen, the first pick to Tim Patrick, totally on me. I thought it was going to be a back shoulder fade. I misread it. 100% my fault. The other one, you know, the ball kind of sailed on him. That play, I just don't understand why you put him at that risk. You know, Lindsay at that moment has 101 yards rushing. You're trying to eat clock, and you throw a ball down the middle of the field where there's bodies. So it's got to be a good throw. I mean, if you're going to throw a ball deep, throw it to the sideline. So it's either your guy gets it or it's out of bounds. So I thought that put Drew kind of in a position to fail unnecessarily. But overall, one thing you see with the team when he's in there is they do feed off his confidence. And one thing Drew has been able to do, he's now 5-3 in 8 starts, is that he keeps his confidence even without results. And that's hard as a young quarterback. You feel like when he's out there, like, okay, something good's going to happen, instead of, oh no, here we go. And again, he made a huge mistake at the end. I'm not defending that, but he did play better than his numbers would indicate.
He certainly did. And I thought Vic Fangio, I mean, this is one of those games where we've seen them four or five times in the past lose with a lead in the last 30 seconds. This is one of those games where you're like, uh-oh, here we go again, here we go again. I thought Vic Fangio coached one of his best football games.
I agree. He probably had his best week as a Broncos coach. The way he handled the COVID-19 issues on and off the field, the way he kept his guys, you know, the carrot in front of his guys, kept them motivated practicing for 2 weeks after, you know, clearly being disappointed at losing their bye week and having three games shifted on their schedule. He kept them focused, and they played one of their best games under him. I think it's their biggest win under him, given all the circumstances. But to your point specifically, Mark, I have joked about this, only half joking, that Vic has had personality bypass surgery and how he calls his defense. I mean, they're blitzing all the time. And he joked that he said he used to lead the league in blitz calling years ago. I mean, that had to be a long time ago, like 15, 20 years ago, because he hasn't blitzed a lot in the last 10 years. Certainly with the Bears, they weren't a blitzing team. They were a great defense, but weren't a blitzing team. But I love the fact he's like, hey, if we're going to win this game, we got to think outside the box. He called that double safety blitz to end the game, collapse the pocket. He said that's the first time he's called that in his coaching career. That's what it requires. When you're 1-3 on the road, think outside the box. I mean, what do you have to lose? That's why I love that. And the players are feeding off that. The players, when I text some of them after the game, are like, you know, they feel like we're getting an identity defensively. We're aggressive. We're making plays. And that part can turn a team that might be a little undermanned, start believing in something bigger than yourself. Like, hey, the scheme's going to carry me a little. That's powerful. And it gives them a chance. It's early, but to return to relevance by the midpoint. Because you look at their schedule, they realistically could be 4-4 after 8 games. I don't know what that means ultimately by the end of the season, but at least gives you a chance for hope in the second half if you're 500 after 8.
Well, this Chiefs game comes along, and I think at the perfect time. You've won a couple in a row. You're feeling better about yourself. You got a little bit of confidence. Now, time to draw that line in the sand, right? This is a statement game. You've lost 9 straight to these guys. They haven't been close. The average score is like 30-14. You're going to get them on a short week for them. Perfect time to make a statement.
I mean, I agree. Even if it's not a victory, you've got to show you can stand eye to eye, go punch for punch with them, because they have been an absolute, they've had their ears boxed the last couple years. I mean, they were outscored 53-9 last year. And outside of the first drive of the first game last year, they weren't in either of those games. And you've got to show them that, hey, we're here, we're not going anywhere. And maybe you lose, but like you said, a statement for me can be a broad thing that, hey, you lose, but you're like, man, you have closed the gap at least. And because they haven't closed the gap, and they didn't last year, but they've lost 9 straight, haven't beaten them since Peyton Manning. And that game was basically a miracle comeback in the Brandon Marshall and the Bradley Roby scoop and score to win that game at Kansas City. That was their last win over the Chiefs. I mean, that's how long it's been. So I agree with you, Mike. It is a chance to make a statement. But at worst case, it's a chance to, even if you lose a close game, you turn around and beat the Chargers and the Falcons. Use it as, hey, we're still playing good football. And, you know, not settle for that. I'm just saying, being realistic, close the gap. Show that you're right there, or you're at least close, that you've got a quarterback. And you've got a defense now that's making plays. The Chiefs are vulnerable because defensively they're not playing very well right now. But you got to still think in terms of scoring 30 to beat them. And you can't do that kicking field goals.
Man, they haven't won a game against the Chiefs since 2015.
Since Manning. And since that game at KC, one of Manning's last great games with the Broncos that night after they were down 14-0. They just said, screw it, we're going shotgun. And let Peyton play, and they end up winning that game. But again, Andy Reid runs Jamal Charles when they could have just gone to overtime, and Brandon Marshall pokes the ball out, and Roby scoop and score. That's what it took to beat them the last time they did beat them.
All right, Troy. Thank you, pal.
You got it, guys. See ya.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider. He's presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air.